Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
If you're new here, welcome. We are so glad to have you. If you are coming back and listening to us, a returning listener, thanks for coming back. We've missed you.
And we have heard your cries. We know you have missed us too.
Oh my God, y'all. We get it. We know. We told you we were on maternity break. Like, dang. Well, for those of you who are new to our show, maybe you don't know who we are and what we're about. And just so you know, in case it isn't obvious, Sage and I are besties. We love each other. We are from Florida, hence the name Florida Grown. It just seemed like, if you're not familiar with our podcast, go back to our first episode, Do Soulmates Exist? And you'll get an idea of who Sage and I are. But we started this podcast because Sage and I like talking about faith and politics and pop culture. And turns out you guys do too. So here we are.
Grab a coffee, grab a tea, and join our best friend discussion.
So grab your coffee like Sage had. This is a doozy of an episode. We wanted to come back and really come back swinging because really, you know, we're the Florida Grown Femmes and we take on anything. And so we really thought this first topic, actually, before we get into the topic, Sage, I think it might be a good idea for everybody to kind of know what we've been up to these last few months. Yeah, it has been a minute. Like, I guess before we jump in, like, my bad, like, it has been like 6 months since people have heard from us. So
yeah,
what have you been up to, Sage, since July of 2021?
Well, so the funny thing is our last episode dropped the same day I gave birth to a child. That was not planned. That was just a happy coincidence. So literally you guys were listening to our last episode while I was giving birth. And yeah,
I've been on again right now,
right at this moment. That's so funny. Okay. So the past 6 months I have been getting used to having a new child in our family. We are now
two under two.
We are now a family of four. And I just want to say, like, honestly, a thank you to Janet and also to our listeners and our supporters for just giving us the grace to take a mother leave. I think Janet and I both are huge proponents of women being allowed to take a mother leave and to take space, whether it's in their work or hobbies or whatever, to, you know, focus on themselves, focus on the baby, get healthy, get back on track, you know? Yeah. It was very important for me that I really took 6 months off of everything. I'm still also a president of a nonprofit. And I also took a 6 month break from that as well. So,
She should, people, as she should. And for those of you who don't know or aren't aware, Sage is in Germany. So she can actually afford to take this leave. So this is something that she is guaranteed, unlike as we know in America, but that's a whole nother topic and stuff. But you actually
have one day we're getting there.
That's a whole nother topic. But something that, so you have been, Sage has been one of raising two wonderful boys and being an incredible mom and doing her own badass professional career for these last few months. And I would say sort of me too.
Please.
None of the children part, but I did give birth to a whole new me in the sense of I started a new career and then I ended a new career. And then I, like Sage, was like, you know what? I need to not do anything. And so I took off, like, I'd say really November, December. I didn't do anything. I didn't really post on social media. I just really let, to be honest, God moved me because I wasn't really moving myself. So finally, like, I just kind of trusted the process. And now I'm in the middle of starting a new career. I'm back to working for other people, which is very new for me. For the last like 3 years, I've been working for myself, it feels like. So it's a whole new change and stuff. So I'm looking forward to this new chapter and to also come back and talk, because I have missed talking about some of these crazy things that are happening in the world. And yes, people, we have heard the good news. Brittany is freed. Thank you. We know, thank God. We are thankful. We are thankful that Brittany is freed. We have kept up with the news, even though we haven't been recording. We have not completely stepped away from the world. Obviously, there are things been going on that are unavoidable. Some things that we talked about, like our last episode, when does life begin? We start that episode ended with not really sure where, you know, the heartbeat law was going. And now we're still, it's up at the Supreme Court. And Sage, I see your face right now. What do you want to say about that?
That it was so challenging for Janet and I not to jump on the podcast because of so many just things that were happening in the news that y'all know we've got opinions about. Okay.
You know we got things to say.
I mean, just the court cases alone was so tempting not to jump on. Was it not? I mean, come on.
Well, also the annoying part is that I was paying attention. Like, what the fuck? Like, that was the more annoying part, that I was actually paying attention to these court cases. What's going on with the Supreme Court? I'm like, right. I have never paid this much attention, except actually in school when I had to memorize these damn cases for history class and stuff. Like, it is. Yeah, I'm paying way too much attention to these court cases, which I think, you know, is when Sage and I decided that, you know, we wanted to come back and we wanted to talk. Obviously, there were so many things that we could talk about that we really thought, you know, we really wanted to make sure that we, one, hit topics that you guys wanted to discuss. And also thank you for always like going into our DMs and sharing your opinions. We love it. Thank you. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, when we came back, that we came back swinging, to be honest. Like, I wanted to make sure people knew who the fuck we were in case they forgot over the 6 months that, you know, we, even though we've been a little quiet, has not been without movement. You know, there's some things that, you know, starting this podcast has made us get involved in our community and stuff. So one of the things that I think is really important for Sage and I to cover before we keep going for the rest of our season is some things that keep coming up in these court cases that Sage is talking about, and some things that just keep coming up in the news that it's just this over and over. And I think there's a confusion really of what's going on. And that is this topic of religious freedom and the separation of church and state. Now, this is something
that was a segue. Oh my gosh.
Oh my,
that was a clap-worthy segue.
Thank you. Now, these are things that, you know, I don't think I realized were so hot button topics, you know, maybe 10 years ago. Maybe I was a little naive in college of what was going on. But religious freedom is something I hear all the time, versus when I was growing up, I heard separation of church and state all the time.
Interesting.
And so for me, I told Sage, like, we have to talk about both, because these are covered. They are so closely knit together that I think we need to cover this in one episode, because there's way too much confusion on all of it.
Yeah. So if you're like catching what Janet is saying, today's question, for those of our faithful listeners, you know, we always start with a question and we answer that. So today's question is, what is religious freedom, and are we still separating church and state? It is a big question.
Matters. And the consequences of what you think about these topics has really big, like, actually, I just said, big consequences. And it's weird to say, because, like, I don't generally, you know, want to monitor thoughts and stuff, but this is something that you need to think about, how you personally feel about this, because it is happening. It is happening definitely right now, whether you want to be involved or pay attention. It is being played out in our court system, in our local communities, in our state policies, in our national policies. It is no longer a topic to not know about. It is something to know. So with that being said, I think maybe
Janet's not passionate about this or any.
Oh, right. Like, I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I'm not. Didn't have to do any research for this at all. It's whatever. Another typical podcast topic. But so I thought, you know, obviously let's start with the question, what is religious freedom and the separation of church and state? Like, where do these ideas come from? How long have they been in place? And, you know, before I go all teachery on a stage, maybe I should go let me just ask you, what do you think religious freedom is?
Okay, great. Thank you. So when I think of religious freedom, my personal frame of reference is coming from the idea of, you know, the right to practice my faith, period. You know what I mean? The right to practice my faith. So I want to highlight that.
So that's what we're saying. The right to practice your faith. I think that's really important. Those words that we're saying, the right for you to practice your Christian faith.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously I have like 1,000 asterisks with that. Yeah. Okay. So when I think of practicing my Christian faith, I think think of, I am allowed to listen to a type of music or read a type of book that has faith undertones or is directly faith related, and the government isn't going to come to my house and take it away from me.
And I think that's Yes, that was my next thing I was going to ask you. I was like, what does it mean to practice your religion? Like, what does that mean?
I mean, for me, of course, it has to do with like content or what I'm allowed to do. I think also practicing my faith for me is a very personal thing. And of course, for me, service has a lot to do with that. But I don't think service doesn't have to be tied to faith for me. But yeah, I think it's like when I think of someone taking away my religious freedom, I think of like, I'm right back to Nazi era Bible burning. You know what I mean? Like in my mind, that's where I go back to, you know? Of course, we're going to talk about a lot of different examples, and some of which blow my mind that people consider that, you know, religious freedom. But for me, when people say you're taking it away, I'm immediately thinking we're burning, you know, people are burning Bibles or people are not allowed to meet for the purposes of faith, like which we've seen experienced in China. They're, you know, the underground church and stuff. That's what that's like what comes to mind, you know?
And that I think it's important to note and stuff too, because one thing is you are now retired, but you were a decade career long missionary. You know, you have been all over the world, seen crazy ass things in the name of God and not God. And you know what it like, you know what it's like to be a Christian in another country where Christianity isn't the main religion. And I think that's important to note. And so I want to just highlight again what Sage has said. What she believes religious freedom is that her right to practice her faith, that the government isn't going to get involved and take away what she's saying or reading or practicing.
Yeah.
That is pretty much the definition of religious freedom. I want to do just like a little history lesson. So one thing I thought was, and this was wrong, is I actually thought like the separation of church and state was guaranteed and like that sort of thing. So a couple of things that I learned is that it's actually the separation of church and state is in our Bill of Rights. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And then our establishment clause in our First Amendment is often interpreted to require the separation of church and state. And so to go back to what religious freedom is and what the founding fathers and why America is America is exactly what Sage said. The government is not allowed to get involved in our worship practice as long as, and this is the asterisk, because like there are crazy religions out there. You're not allowed, there are basic human rights that you are not allowed to skip, like murder. It's you're not allowed to murder people. Issue. You know, you can't kill babies. We all know this. There are some things that just because your religion says it's allowed doesn't mean that the world allows it and it's legal.
Can I say something important to that? Because where were the founding fathers coming from? Obviously, England, Europe. And at that time, you had monarchies, royalties, and they were seen by the people as sort of divinitively selected by God to rule. So
yes,
there was
the state and government. Yeah, especially in the UK.
Yeah, there was no, you know,
it didn't
exist. It's so easy to say there was no separation of church and state, but I feel like I'm restating that too much, you know?
Right. Exactly.
But it was,
think about,
I'm the king appointed by God. Therefore, what I say is also God divine. You know what I mean? So actually America was very interesting in that, you know, we wanted to say, no, you can have your faith, your religion here, and you can have your politics, your, you know, what's mandated, what's governed here. And obviously our government was influenced by Christian values, Christian beliefs. Yes. But it really is interesting that is in there. And at the time, I do believe that was revolutionary.
It was. It was actually absolutely revolutionary because at that time, the big deal, the reason, you know, our whole, we'll talk about, you know, our American Genesis is a little bit hard to talk about now, but our Genesis story that we talk about a lot is the Mayflower, you know, people escaping religious persecution. But literally, I think people forget what that meant. It was before you had the Church of England and now you had Protestants. And that's what happened. Still two different types of Christianity, but they wanted to be able to practice that and they couldn't. And so that came over to America. And something that you hit on too, our founding fathers were religious. And this is something that I feel like I hear all the time that like our founding fathers wanted this. If our founding fathers wanted something, they would have fucking done it. Okay. It would have been in our constitution already. If they wanted us to be a fucking Christian nation, we would be a fucking Christian nation. Okay. Like point blank. And for those who are listening, we're not a Christian nation. And maybe that is terrifying to you, but I want, you know, as Sage said, like, let's put an example, like technically the UK is still a Christian nation. They have gotten, you know, I'm sure they would adopt some things of like, no, we're separated church and state, but like they're more tolerant in things. But something I want to think about is people always think about like religious freedom, but they also don't think about on what does it look like when you're not. And so in Afghanistan, we know the opposite of what it's like over there right now. You obviously cannot go out and publicly say, I love Jesus. Most likely, it might not be in your best interest to do that. So over here, yes, in the US, what your religious freedom guarantees is that you can go to church. You can read what you want to read. You can praise who you want to praise. And the government will not intervene. The government will not tell you that you are supposed to be practicing this religion. The United States will never say that we are a Christian nation and this is what we do. Yep. So that is something that I think like that is what religious freedom is in one. And so this is something we're going to go down the line. I want to plant these thoughts now. And so it is our right to practice our religion. And for those who are conservative or who grew up in the church, like I did, that started to hear, well, we not need to make sure God is number one. God is number one. And so I think sometimes conservative Christians, where I start to get a little nervous about putting God first, is that somehow down the line of putting God first means not respecting the law. And I bring that up because like I told Sage something that I felt like there's some real world applications to religious freedom and the separation of church and state. And one of those cases that immediately struck in my mind, and maybe most people might be aware of this Supreme Court case, is the Supreme Court case where it was a gay couple went to a baker and they asked the baker to make them a wedding cake. And the baker refused because she said it was against her religion, and went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And we still hear about it.
And can I just say, what a weird case. It's a fucking cake.
It's a freaking cake. And it's so I've heard
no offense to the gay community, but like you couldn't bake them a cake.
Well, really? Also to the same girl, like you couldn't fucking make a cake. Like it's a wedding cake. Yeah, like, that's 100 of those every week. And so this is the thing. Yeah. And so here are the arguments and stuff. So the arguments made on the conservative side and what went up all the way to the Supreme Court and where we are now is a baker who is just working in America, doing the capitalistic thing, creating a bakery here for consumption, here to make money. Is it actually stopping her right to practice her religion by not serving gay people? And so for me, the right to practice your religion means that you are allowed to go to church. Now, for those
Did that court case end anyway?
I mean, gay people are allowed to get. Oh, yeah. You're not allowed to discriminate on
based on
sexual. Yeah. You can't discriminate against sexual orientation or all that now.
So even when you're like, even when you're like selling something, you can't choose who you're selling.
Right. So there is a practice in America that you have the right to not serve anyone that you don't want to serve, but it literally can't be based off of any of those things described. So it can't be based off of your race or gender or sexual orientation. You can be like, I don't fucking like this bitch and I don't want to serve them, and you can get out. But I can't say I don't like you, you know, because of like, I don't want to say any bad word. Like, you know, I don't like you, gay person, get out of my restaurant. You know, you can't do that. You can just try to kick them out. But like, this is why this case is so specific, because they were specifically discriminated against because they were gay. If she had just been like, I don't want to serve you, I have the right to serve. Yeah, I have the right to not serve you. We probably wouldn't have gotten to the Supreme Court case, but it was specifically the discrimination on being gay and the idea that gay people are stopping you from loving Jesus and practicing your religion,
which is really interesting because I know several cases, and I'm waiting for this to come to the Supreme Court. Several cases of people within the church who've tried to become pastors or worship leaders and have not been able to because they were gay. And for me, it's kind of like the church saying the church's right, I guess, to religious freedom of not saying that they think homosexuality is wrong or whatever. But at the same time, it's hindering that homosexual or gay or whoever person from living out their right to religious freedom by having a, like, living out their quote unquote calling or whatever. So I was also thinking about that, where it's kind of like the church does it all the time.
Right. But they shouldn't. I mean, it's also one thing.
Of course not.
Well, also, you know, to bring up to your point, like, you know, some people listening are like, well, yeah, like they're gay. Newsflash, not every Christian believes that being gay is wrong. So there's
there are gay Christians. So
absolutely.
Whether you believe it's right or wrong, like they exist.
Well, and this is where we have, and this is what we need to talk about. And this is where we need to deep dive, because that is where we're not at that in America. We're going the opposite. We're going into The Handmaid's Tale. There's a reason we have done these episodes, because we're not shifting that way. We're not, people aren't like, oh yeah, like you believe that and I believe that, so we should all be more tolerant. It's no, I'm doubling down. You're stopping my practice of religion.
Yeah.
I think we need to really, really deep dive this and talk about what is practicing our faith does not mean that we are discriminating against. And I think that it's important, because nowhere in
say
the
it
lines
again,
of,
say it again. She said
practicing our religion does not mean that we discriminate against others. And so,
and that we are not being discriminated against.
Yeah. Even if you believe that being gay is wrong, even if you do believe that, when did God give you the right to stop practicing love? Mm-hmm. You know, all God has called us to do, the one thing that Jesus has called us to do, is spread the message and to love others. I would submit to this baker and to the conservative Christians who feel that they are going against their will of God, like God is going to be mad at them.
Like God's going to be mad at me.
They think that like it is literally against like their religion, like they are upsetting God, that this is against them, that they are not doing their true faith by not trying to convert these people, by telling them they are wrong. And like, that's my thing. It's like, what did you actually think was going to accomplish with this gay couple? Did you show them love? Is this going to make them come to Jesus? Is it going to make them want to come to your church? Like, what the hell are you thinking about? Yeah, like,
it doesn't even make sense left from right. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And for those who are like, well, you know, putting God first means that sometimes you have to do things that are uncomfortable. Putting God first doesn't mean that you break the law. There, as we've talked about, would you say to the Christians in China, to the Christians in Afghanistan, who are not allowed to go out and declare that they love Jesus, that they are not putting God first? No, you would never fucking say that, because God doesn't honor the religious activity of following the law.
Just so you know, just something to add to that, because you said like, about Christians in China and everything, like there was kind of an obsession with martyrdom in America, especially in American faith and missions and stuff. So I think there is a sense that people are like, oh no, to the death.
Yeah.
I won't give a cake to a gay man, to the death. You know, like, are you kidding me? Like, what a weird like a first world problem, like developed nation problem, like,
well, like
to be so intense about, you know,
again and again, like my whole thing is like, how is that helpful to the cause? How is that helpful to Christians? Like, even if you like it, obviously this couple, I'm like, could not be more burned by a church, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like the damage done in the name of God to this couple, how are they supposed to see God in this anger, you know? Mm-hmm. And like this hate and like this it makes me mad. But this whole, for those who are listening, like, yeah, Janet, obviously this is religious freedom, it's just being able to worship and go to church and then whatever, like obviously don't discriminate. But I think that, you know, we can say this like it makes sense, but that's not what's happening. Like we see now, you know, the reason that we're talking about this is because the erosion of the separation of church and state is eroding away in America. And Sage and I have been talking about some of these court cases that are happening and stuff. And it's a very, very slow shift. And I don't think people
realize
what's happening.
And erosion is a really
good
word.
Yeah.
Erosion is a really good word that you used. I want to talk about another court, the Duggar court case, where the guy,
oh my God, Sage, this is just another perfect example of religious freedom.
Yeah, he was watching child pornography. He was in possession.
Yeah, let's, for those who don't know, who didn't want to know about this case. So for the Josh Duggar case, this is for those who used to watch the show, literally 19 kids and counting. It's the oldest son. If you guys remember back in like 5 years ago, the show got canceled because it came out that he had touched his sisters while they were younger in their sleep. And he'd also touched a neighbor and stuff too. So it came out. And so, and also he was looking at crazy stuff. So like eventually he got, you know, put on, but got caught
by crazy stuff. Janet does mean child pornography.
Right. And so that happened like 6 years ago. Fast forward to what Sage is talking about to right now, this just ended a couple months ago. Once again, this dude is back in court because he, and like, again, like careful what you read out there because I'm still shocked about what I read, but he downloaded what the FBI considers some of the work, like the top three, like there's some that I guess there's like, I don't want to say it and stuff because I don't want anybody to even know about it, but there's like a couple like top five videos that the FBI talks about as like some of the worst child porn. It's not even like, it's torture. It's like
it's more than torture.
It's more than just like, and this is children. Like, not even like, I want people to be thinking about, we're talking toddlers. We're talking to
babies. Yes.
4-year-olds, 5-year-olds is the
torture, sexual torture.
Right. So these, like he had two of the top, like worst videos of all time. And like the FBI was like, okay. And like the person that found it, they talked about threw up because they weren't prepared. And so what happened was, so this guy, Josh Duggar, he got real crafty. And so it was on his business laptop that he had a proxy site that, so his wife and his family had a spyware system installed on all of his computers. It's also by the court mandated. And so that they record everything that he looks at. Homeboy is a tech boy, as was put out in the court case and stuff. He's crazy technologically advanced. So he knows how to get on the dark web, and he created a bypass system so that any of the crazy things that he looked at weren't on any of his home computers. It was on his work computer on a different server. And so I can't remember how the FBI, how they tracked it. You know, it was one of those things. That's the thing. Like a lot of these videos, the FBI is now like track, like, you know, they have these things that we don't even know anymore. And that's how they found him. But what Sage is talking about, and I, oh, I pissed, this is some fucking handmade shit, is that they tried to get to say, oh, because they first, because they are in the church, because Josh Duggar's in the church, his family's in the church, because they originally tried to handle this with like told the church elders essentially kind of deal that it was, this was covered under religious freedom and it needed to be handled within the church. That
because,
is literally
because the logic. So the logic was that he confessed or shared this intimate thing with someone in church leadership. And then basically the church was handling it like as if the
church. And like that's what the church also is like denied.
Walking alongside of him. So for you Christians out there, I know, you know, that phrase or whatever, mentoring him through this process. And the thing is, for me, though, that is illegal.
Yeah,
everything he had. I mean, it's illegal in the most disgusting sense of it all.
The church is not allowed. Yeah, the church is not allowed. And this also is like for those who might be Catholic and those who think about the confessions, like even the priests, like if you confess like to crazy bad things, even the priests have to like, there's like a 1-800 number, like, oh, you got to watch out. Like you are not allowed to do anything like this in the name of God. And also, like, there's nowhere in the Bible where it's like, handle it amongst yourselves and don't tell, like, don't get in trouble. Don't get actually handle your punishment. You know, you can forgive, but you actually still have to deal with the wrath and the consequences of your actions. So anyway, but yeah.
Well, and bottom line is like, and this is where for me, I told you, like, my definition has like a lot of asterisks with it. And for me, of course, when there's a violation of human rights and also just the violation of the law. And in this case, this is, we're talking about international human rights laws. This is bigger than American law. This is some pretty nasty stuff that he was involved in. And it should have been reported again to the police. Anytime anything was found, anytime he confessed to absolutely anything, it should have been reported to the police. And it should not be, in my opinion, to be covered under religious freedom.
Yeah, that they had any, that they tried to argue that at all, that this was covered under it. But also it's the same thing for, because you talked about these court cases. It's this, and it's important for, again, like we're noting these, and it's important to note that like when Christians sometimes get ahead, Because if we all know, if this was a Muslim or if this was a Jewish man, this would not even come close to people being like, oh, this falls under religious freedom. It wouldn't even have made it to where it made it. But we make asterisks for Christianity and stuff because we believe.
Well, now, and let me give an example too, because America considered whether or not they should allow Muslims in the U.S. to practice Sharia law. And they decided they should not, because some of the laws within Sharia law go against some American laws in all human rights violations. Okay. So when we do talk about religious freedom, like, it really is about the Christians just battling it out, because, you know, when it comes to the Sharia law, that got kicked out, you know? And so, I mean, if you are violating someone's human rights, sorry, but you cannot file that under protection of religious freedoms. That's ridiculous.
It is not like, again, like, it's not affecting you going to church, praising God, reading anything. It's not the government coming in and being like, nah, like, you can't do that. But all these things add up. Like, you need to pay attention, because if you start the other thing that's going on into the same court cases, for those who might also be paying attention, on the flip side, Scientology, that 70s show, Danny Masterson, his rape cases that are going on right now in LA, he's been charged with one attempted and then three actual rapes of and a couple of them are his former girlfriends and stuff, but he is a Scientologist. And in Scientology, they believe that anything negative that happens to you as a person is your own fault. So if you got raped, what did you do to deserve that? What did you do to do that? And so, and again, in Scientology, you're not allowed to go to psychiatrists. You're not allowed to go to the police. They are suppressive people. You handle things in the church. And so that is what he is also arguing. Like, his lawyers, it is a crazy religious freedom case, actually, that's happening, that is playing out in California right now, because up until now, Scientology has never even made it up to this point, even though it is a clear violation of human rights. But up until this point, they have been able to declare religious freedom, that anything that they do is actually a practice for God. So Danny Masterson raping her is actually part of the religion. And so that is what they are arguing right now, that you are interfering in my religious freedom to rape these fucking people. And like, that is like, obviously, like, the words that I'm using, I'm making it a little bit more dramatic, but that is essentially what they are arguing. And if you don't pay attention to what, like, these details of what are really happening, we're going to be in the Handmaid's Tale, y'all. Like, this is how it goes.
And I just want to reiterate. So we just gave three different examples of court cases, and I want you to look and see who the, you know, quote unquote victims or survivors of these situations were. LGBTQ community, children, women. Okay. Yes. So this is like, use, because what did Jesus say? We need to take care of the orphan and the widow. We need to protect women. He was a feminist. I don't care what you say. He
motherfucking
held, he held women up on a pedestal, protected them, cared for them. You know, they weren't as open about
that. The first, like, yeah, we're going that too. How women have
about kids. He said, if you touch children, like, you in trouble. Okay. So, I mean, talking like the audacity to use the term religious freedom in cases like this, first of all, makes me want to vomit. Second of all, is just, it's completely unacceptable. And I think as Christians, you know, huge takeaway I have from this already is just, am I more afraid of someone telling me, oh, you can't read your Bible anymore, than I am of defending the rights of those who cannot defend themselves, children, clearly women, rape victims and stuff? No, I would rather shout out and say, hey, stop, you know, you need to stop using this inappropriately. This is unacceptable. Period.
No. And you, Sage, you just killed that point. 'Cause you're right. It's women, it's children, it's the disenfranchised that are constantly being hurt.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that we're
over and over again.
Exactly. Being Christian does not mean that we start discriminating, you know, and like that, again, we've covered that and stuff, but again, to kind of,
and Josh Duggar, like, how dare you? Okay. I personally don't believe in the death penalty, but like, honestly, sign
the
him
stuff up. That he's done.
You know I'm what like, I'm saying? I have no grace for that. Excuse me, Lord.
I know there's girl preach. Okay. So to kind of wrap up this segment to go where we're at with like the, so we kind of cover religious freedom. We're kind of covered a little bit of separation of church and state, but to really bring it, like, let's get it into an American case here where it's like, all right, this is happening. This is happening right now in our own county. So there, and this is, I'm like, I told Sage, I'm like, wow, this is like the definition of like where people are at in like the separation of church and state. And so here we are now with, let's talk about religious schools and state funding. And so
private, public schools,
private schools, private Christian schools getting receiving state funding.
Yeah.
Getting some of these voucher systems too. So the idea is, and so there in a couple of these cases have gone up, like the one I was just reading, I think that this was about was Rhode Island or Massachusetts, one of the New England schools or whatever. But essentially it also went up to not the Supreme Court, but to the state Supreme Court, where the argument was, or whatever the state was, that this particular Christian school wanted like the public funds or whatever. And they didn't get it because the school board was like, we can't endorse, you know, religion, like we can't, and if we endorse you, then the state is saying that we endorse like Christianity and stuff. So they don't do any religious schools, don't get any funding.
Yeah.
And so this went all the way up to the state Supreme Court. And what was handed down was, let me just kind of read a little bit about this. So I guess what it came down to, and I can't remember where it landed because I'm now mixing up some stuff, is it came down to, is just because the state gives you money, does that mean it's really sponsoring and like uplifted, like saying that we are, or is it just, hey, we're just happen to be giving money because we're neutral to anybody could be getting this. You know, Muslim school should be asking for this too, because if we're truly neutral, we could give it to everything. So that's the argument that religious freedom, just because we give money, just because the state gives money to religious schools, doesn't mean that they are approving of. They are just happen to be giving money. It's not forcing you into the religion. It just happens to be paying for that type of education. And so I personally don't think that the state, like, basically what it comes down to is whether you believe giving money to something or symbolizing something is actual the same as representation. And for me, it's a slippery slope, you know, like just because,
well, let me just ask some questions.
Yeah.
Is it like, cause people's children are not being forced to go to those schools, right?
Right. They're choosing to put these schools in private schools. These kids in private.
Choosing to put their kids in private school. Wait, I had another question and then I lost it.
All good. So no, like that's the thing where it's like, for me, it seems pretty clear cut that like, obviously we don't give money, but that's not what actually happened and stuff. And so what I was telling Sage, like these two opinions that I found. So Anthony Kennedy says that states can support as long as they're not forcing the citizens to be a part of religion. So just because they're sponsoring the school doesn't mean that we're like trying to make people Christians and stuff, is Kennedy's argument.
With the idea that they could go to a different school if they wanted to. Okay. I'm just trying to fully understand here.
Right. In this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, but O'Connor's point of view is any endorsement or support is a state or government sponsorship. Looks matter, essentially. If it looks like it, then it is it. Like, so that's her argument. And so for me, I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe in your, like, as you're saying, like, well, that's okay. They can go to another school. Okay. So let's say that this case, like, could get played out, went to the Supreme Court and they decided that way, which could happen soon. There's some court cases like that. So now that opens up, like, well, if that's okay, why not bring back prayer in school? And for those who are listening, schools. Yeah.
In public schools.
in general, if we're endorsing it in one way, why not endorse it this way?
It's a leap.
Well, that's my thing. If, again, if we're not forcing people, you know, just because we're giving money to these things, we're not forcing our citizens to believe this way. We're just hoping. That's kind of what I get out of it. Versus for me, like prayer in school, that is the next step, because that is what the conservative movement is trying to bring back. It all starts one at a time. You got to start with this, and then you break it down so you can get back to this. That's what we saw literally in The Handmaid's Tale. And even though it's a book and TV show, the like how democracy falls still works the same way. Yeah. So there's that for me. Prayer in school. Yeah, I'm not forcing anybody to be a Christian, even though there's prayer in school. But what about for those who are Jewish, for those who are Muslim, for those who eventually decide that they don't want to believe? What about them? Why are they having to partake in something that they don't believe in? What about their rights as individuals? And I think we always forget about that. Like, what if someone doesn't agree with our Christian morals? Mm-hmm. Oh, what do we do then? Because again, we're not a Christian nation.
For me, you know, I see you see the beginning of a slippery slope here. And for me, it's like, man, it's not that hard to keep things separate, y'all. What's your problem? You know, it's a Christian school. Let them pray at the Christian school. And at a public school, they don't have to pray at a public school. Like, you know, it just seems like, I guess the answers always seem more obvious than what they end up turning out to be. Does that make sense? You know, just kind of like, logically going to one place.
But I think we're in a different, but you're saying that, but we're different. Like, I'm saying that don't give them money, and you're like, and okay. But that
No. I didn't say anything about money. I didn't say anything about
money. Well, that's my thing. It's like, if that's what we're talking about.
Prayer. I was talking about prayer. Oh, okay. Like, why can't you just pray at the Christian school and you don't pray at the
school? Well, yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. But that's the leap, is that they're going to bring in prayers to public school again. That's
well, so here about the money thing, though. So about the money thing. First of all, I don't understand why a private Christian school needs government money, because parents are paying so much money. Like, first of all, I don't even understand why. Okay.
Think of St. Stephen's. Think of like the very like podunk, like small Christian schools that have like 10 people in them.
Okay.
Think about like those, so, like the small.
Fine. Or maybe it's like run through a church or something. I get that. I still think that then they should be able to finance themselves. Like, that's my personal opinion.
Agree.
But my other opinion that brings up, though, is then could church entities or religious entities, does that, if we say that the school can't have public funding, is that saying that other Christian entities can't have public funding? Because for example, what if there's something like a food bank, a shelter, which is run based off of Christian principles, or it's run in a church, for example, you know, during the pandemic or something where everybody was so in need, are we saying that they could not receive funding to then distribute it back out to the community? Because that's also like something to think about. Because I know some people are like, churches don't pay taxes, and I hate churches because I don't pay taxes.
But I was like, yes, because churches are doing that out of the goodness of their heart to be creating these pantries versus dedicated nonprofits that are like All Face Food Bank, for example. Here is, you know, literally All Face, and they do get funding because they don't, in their case, like they're literally All Face versus like the 26th Street Church that I passed that has a food bank. No, they wouldn't, because they're only open Tuesdays and Thursday. But even if they were full time and stuff.
But some churches also have 501c3 nonprofits that are like.
I was going to say, that's different. When you are not 501. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's different. When you can be a nonprofit out of a church and not be religious, technically, in your, you know, legality of things.
Yeah, because you have to choose, right? You have to choose when you make a nonprofit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we're going.
Or non-Christian.
And
stuff like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that's where things are moving, is like, to your point. Well, I'm doing really good things, so why shouldn't my Christian organization get money? Mm-hmm. Well, you're choosing to be a Christian organization. That's why. Yeah. And like, I think there's like this double standard. And for me, it's like, yeah, like I have some, like, yes, it starts here and then it's a bunny trail that goes all down this way. Like, you don't, for me, I think it's a hard, like, I see what you're saying. It's like, I personally don't want to give any money to any religious schools, religious entities at all, because I fall under the Sandra Day O'Connor line of thinking that looks matter. If the government is giving us money, then basically the government is supporting that. Like, looks matter. just because you're not forcing me to go to this place doesn't mean that there's not like brainwashing still happening. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. I think for me, I generally agree. I would just be interested to see like, how does that play out then with, like I said, the churches who do run a 501c3 and maybe they did choose it's a Christian, but all they're doing is handing out food, you know? So, and I mean, all they're doing, I don't know what all they're doing, you know what I mean? But it would be interesting to see, like, I would need a more broader understanding of who all is being affected by something like that, you know? Cause it's pretty clear to me to say, Christian school, like fund yourself, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's interesting public
school, you know?
Well, yeah, that's to me. I'm like, I don't need any more broadness. I'm like, it is what it is. Like, if you're a Christian business, if you're a Christian nonprofit, if you are calling yourself a religious whatever, you don't get the benefits of like the you already get other benefits, you know, like you're not having to pay your taxes. Like, that's the other thing too. Like, you're saving a shit ton, 30% more than every other business. Because you don't have to pay taxes.
Right, right.
So for me, I'm like, you are already getting benefits. So, you know, like why in that case, you know, it's like, so there's that. And for me, I'm like, you are, as the churches that are have 501c nonprofits, like, and are not making it religious, like, great, because they know that's how they can make a bigger impact and a wider net to people is not discriminating against people. Because again, like, if I'm Jewish or Muslim, do I go to that church food bank? Do I feel comfortable going in there? Are they going to tell me no? Because that's the other thing too.
That's fair. That yeah, time? No, you, that brings back the cake. Apparently food matters. Apparently,
well, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Food matters. Exactly. And so if you're giving money, if you're giving money? So you say it's like to a religious school. Maybe it's like here, like St. Stephen's, where like, oh, that's a great school. They're basically not religious. But what if they were? You know, like what if this was like, what if the state did give some funding to these podunk schools that I know exist out on 70 that are teaching that one, the founding fathers prayed over the Bill of Rights and like the Declaration of Independence before they did it. And all these that Democrats are evil, like, fuck you. You don't get my government funding. Like, no, because of those things, like religion, not all religions are the same. One Christian church to the next Christian church are different.
So you can't guarantee, of course.
Yeah, you can't guarantee that these religious like organizations are not going to break the law.
Which does bring me to a point, because we want to make the point that not all Christians believe the same thing.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point when we're talking about separation of church and state. How do we then decide the morals of the state? Because we did say it was like somewhat based off of Christian principles, you know?
Yeah.
And that I do really struggle with that because, for example, we have the death penalty, which I don't agree with according to my beliefs, according to my religious freedoms.
Right.
I do not believe in the death penalty. If I'm ever tried for a crime and I have the death penalty, I'm pulling religious freedom right out my butt and telling them.
Interesting.
You cannot put me to death because
we need my religious freedom. Bitch, I think you just came up with a defense. Like,
Call me up a lawyer. Girl,
has that been tried? Y'all, defense attorney. Sage just gave you
I don't
one.
Know, dude. I don't know, man. But I'm here for it, you know? That's and so I... That does bring me to the question, though, is like, because I don't want to have a completely moralless state. Yes. And now some people would look at the politicians we have and say, too late. That's a joke, everybody. But yeah, because for me, it is important. And so for me, I am someone who stands more on like, to me, the most important thing is like international human rights. Things that other nations also are agreeing on, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want everything that's written in the Bible, for example, to be lived out in the practice of our government, because it would look a lot more like Sharia law than people want to admit.
Yeah, seriously, people.
Nobody wants to say that, but there's some nasty crap in the Bible that we do not want our government.
Yeah, for fucking real. Yet. Everybody judging Sharia law, like Christian law, we came down to it, wouldn't be.
No.
I need to read your Bible.
So that's where I'm kind of like, how can I have a some ethics ethics, you know, morals is pretty, pretty hyped, you know, like tense word, but ethics, an ethical state, without it necessarily being Christian. Cause as we said, Christians don't even always agree, you know?
Yeah. How do you do this?
I think that's where I'm at on that one.
Well, I think a couple things. I think you can put God first and the law of man be second. And I also think you can put God first and not break the law. Like, you know, we look at, you know, look at our trailblazers before that, you know, we look at Harriet Tubman and those who risked their lives to save people from slavery and to get them up to the North and stuff. That is Christian values at like being lived out. They knew that it was against the law to do it, but they did it anyway because of those greater human rights. And like today's world, like that's a little bit different. But again, like in today's world, you can still love God and still like there are things
of obey the law
I don't agree with. What I'm saying is like, you know, we're getting to a place where I don't agree with the laws of our country anymore. You know, my rights. And, you know, again, like we've talked about this, like abortion rights completely go away. Sorry, y'all. A lot of my female as a human rights have gone away. They are being stripped. But that doesn't mean that I don't stop loving God and living it out and like walking it out. I think like Christians in America need to be more bold and be like, you know what? Just because the laws say that this and this, it's okay. I don't need to reverse it back to make people force people into my morality. And I think that for me is where it's at. Don't support causes that are based off of your specific Christian morality that may not agree with other people. So like abortion rights, you know, we kind of talked about that and stuff. Like if you believe life starts at conception, good for you, but I don't. I believe it with brainwaves. So you don't get to call me like non-Christian. We're just different and stuff. We still get to walk it out. So it is a little bit messy and stuff as far as like, you know, being in America now, there's a lot of things that are, you know, we don't agree with, but that doesn't mean that we discriminate against others.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I think, man, I think that was deep. That was, I did have some more examples, but I feel like that was good.
And for, I guess I just to kind of, for those who do want maybe biblical examples of what I'm saying, like Janet, you're full of shit. Like God says, like, you know, like put God first. And that means being a martyr for whatever that cause is. I want you all to listen to Luke Berry from VU and his message of right on the money. It's a, his, not his interpretation, but it's the story in the passage where Jesus said, give Caesar's what is Caesar's. And we usually talk about that message as in like tithing and stuff like that. It always kind of comes back to money, but that message really, and I, for those who, you know, haven't seen the message, go listen and stuff. Luke's point is, you know, giving God what is his means give, like giving God your heart, your desire, your intention. Give Caesar what is Caesar. Yeah, follow the laws, like pay your taxes, follow the law. That doesn't matter. Give government whatever the fuck they want. Give God.
Kind of funny when a church preaches about paying their taxes.
but like give God what is God. And that's your heart.
No, I'm here.
You know, your desire, your life and stuff. Like there, you can walk it out and still honor God. And I think like that message for me gave me a lot of freedom and being able to understand like, I don't need to listen to the ways of the world. Like God has given me a message. And so I hope that encourages people that it is a biblical practice to not always agree with your government and stuff. But yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at today. So just to
And about also about following the law, let's just say that the law is now is stepping more forward in human ethics and human rights than
trans rights. Yeah, like trans rights, I think, are like the next example of like
all human rights, even supporting, you know, victims of rape and sexual assault, all of that. None of that is protected, for example, in the Old Testament. Okay. I mean, some of it is, some of it's not. It's complicated. But I would say human rights and human ethics have taken a leap forward more than our Holy Bible was or did. And that's okay as well. So I do think that's really important. Okay. Friends. Yeah, we came in swinging and we're not done yet.
We're going to wrap this up a little bit nicer. This is something that I love that Sage came up with this. I think it's a great idea and stuff. Sage, why don't you lead us into it? Wrapping up our show.
So one of our, one of Janet and I's like fresh creative ideas and where we want to head this year is for the podcast is that we're going to start introducing segments. Yeah. As we chuck along, you're going to hear some of our new segments and, we're going to start today just with a quick one, a fun one. And, this segment is called Treat Yourself. And the idea is Janet and I are just going to share like, what have we been treating ourselves to lately? Maybe you want to also treat yourself to that. So I'm just going to jump into this segment and ask Janet, what have you been treating yourself to lately?
Girl, I have been treating myself to the new season of Cheer season 2 on Netflix. Girl, y'all, it is so good. It picks up right where it's left off. If you haven't seen Cheer season 1, what have you been doing? Like,
okay, us a one or two sentence like description of what is Cheer.
So Cheer is about the Navarro Cheer team in Corsicana, Texas, as small as it sounds. And there is a female coach named Monica who is the winningest coach of all time. She has coached this team into 18 national cheer, like the top award of cheer competitions, 18 back to back to back. And so it picks up the first season on that, the current team, where they're at, how she's going for fucking 19 and like how they do what they do and how they became what they became. And so there is some breakout stars that came from it and stuff. And so it picks up from what, and that's the thing I didn't know. They never stopped filming. And so they kept picks up right from like the exact day of where they ended in season 1. They freaking picked the hell back up from there.
Like, okay, I just love this because I feel like in this segment, you are really going to see what like Janet and I's personalities come out. One thing I love about Janet is like, if you are looking for a show to binge like a new reality TV show, like Janet has got your back. Okay.
I got your back.
And I am going to be covering the other half of our audience, the nerds. Okay. So for all of my nerds out there, you are definitely in this segment, you are just going to find out how nerdy I am. Okay. So, what I've been treating myself to lately, this is so nerdy. I hate it. I've been listening to a podcast by some scientists from MIT called Today I Learned Climate. TIL Climate is the name of the podcast. And they are scientists, researchers, and they interview researchers from all over the world to talk about like very broad, different type aspects of climate change. What I love about the podcast is the episodes are only 10 minutes long, which for me is so manageable. So if you are nerdy, but also feel like you don't understand, like you need to don't understand climate change, or you just, maybe you're just like nerding out on like different types of energy, or I don't know. Okay. I'm not limiting my nerdy buds. Okay. But if you're a nerd, Today I Learned Climate, if you want to talk science and crap, like I'm here for it.
Math club. I was like, that was Sage. Can you tell Sage's dad was a math teacher? Can you tell?
I have also been to the math Olympics. So
my God, that's so, yes, you have. You did.
Yeah, it was in college. Yep. In college.
You did that. That happened. Y'all, I saw it. Like, I didn't
know. So that's for my, that's just, I want to support the nerds out there. You're not alone. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your nerdiness. Okay.
I love it. This is awesome. So next week's topic is, can women have it all? So that's going to be a fun one. I think that one will be a little bit more fun. For those of you who are new to the show, for those of you who aren't new to the show, thank you for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe and share our podcast. It means the world to us. Also, for those that listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review.
Every single one of you who is in my DMs asking when the podcast was coming back, I do expect a review from you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Come on now. Like, for those of you, we know we have loyal listeners. Like,
they know who you are. And some of you, we know where you live. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Please leave us a review. Please share it. It's how other people find out about the show. Mm-hmm. It's how your bestie can learn something as well. So please share, subscribe, review, all of the above. We will be back. Actually, yeah, that's the thing that we are changing. That's one thing we didn't mention, that we will be back in 2 weeks. We are changing from weekly to, I guess, every other week or bi-monthly-ish. So we'll be back. We'll see you soon. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.